The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy.
In the headlines, Ghana and Denmark signed 4-year tax and development program to support economic governance. Nana Akufo-Addo urges media to uphold tenets of profession and champion development. National Insurance Commission to prosecute property owners who do not acquire and display insurance certificates. Former President Obasanjo criticizes Goodluck Jonathan for his handling of Boko Haram insurgency. And UN declares state of emergency in Gaza following days of torrential rains. But first, the summary with Rosemary Gazy.
Ghana and Denmark have signed an agreement for a 4-year tax and development program. The program, to be implemented from 2015 to 2018, is part of Denmark's development strategy to support Ghana's economic governance and sustain its public finances. This was contained in a statement issued by the Ministry of Finance in Accra. The total funding for the program is about $40 million. The flag bearer of the new patriotic party, Nana Akufo-Addo, has challenged the media to be professional in the discharge of their duties and champion the country's development. In an interaction with the media at his residence in Accra, Nana Akufo-Addo, however, lauded the media for his role in deepening Ghana's democracy. Former President Olusegun Obasanjo has accused President Goodluck Jonathan for allowing the Boko Haram attack to escalate and has since urged him not to seek re-election, an advice he claims Mr. Jonathan has ignored. Speaking at a book launch, General Obasanjo described the 5-year Islamic uprising as a gargantuan danger to the nation and blamed President Jonathan for taking less action to identify the root causes of the conflict. And the UN has declared a state of emergency in Gaza Strip after 2 days of heavy rains and flooding. According to UN Relief and Works Director of Operations in Gaza, Robert Turner, the agency is concerned about the severe storms on the back of unprecedented damage and destruction from the war. The UN Relief and Works Agency says 63 schools have been closed down and is supplying emergency fuel, water, sanitation and health facilities to municipalities.
Radio Ghana News, your authoritative, informative and trusted source of up-to-date news. We report the facts are not fiction. The truth are not hearsay. We demonstrate professionalism and not sensationalism. Radio Ghana, the only station that networks the whole nation. You can also listen to us live on the internet at gbcghana.com. Radio Ghana, we are the best and equal to none.
Stories in this and other bulletins can be accessed via our website gbcghana.com. The news now in detail. Ghana and Denmark have signed an agreement on a 4-year tax and development program. The program, which will be implemented from 2015 to 2018, is part of Denmark's development strategy to support Ghana's economic governance and sustain its public finances. This was contained in a statement issued by the ministry in Accra. The objective of the program is to improve economic governance in Ghana by increasing revenue mobilization, strengthening revenue administration, and improving accountability of the government to the citizens. The total funding for the program is about $40 million. The Deputy Minister of Finance, Cassiel Attefossen, and the Danish Ambassador to Ghana, Margit Thompson, initialed on behalf of their countries.
The flag bearer of the new patriotic party, NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has challenged the media to uphold the tenets of the profession in the highest esteem, saying practitioners cannot afford to lower the standards set. He said the media cannot renege on its responsibility of championing development because it is a duty they owe to the citizenry. Nana Akufo-Addo made the observation when he interacted with the media at his NEMA residence in Accra. He used the occasion to thank the media for their role in deepening Ghana's democracy, further urging journalists to build on the gains made so far. We bring you excerpts of Nanado's speech.
We don't want to go back to the days when people expressed themselves and when there was a knock on their door for them to come and explain to one or other state security official why they are running. People have a problem with information that has been put out. The solution is very simple. Put out the correct information. That should be the solution. The solution cannot be calling them and subjecting them to interrogation and to... What has happened? Not me. It's that the domain media continues down the path that it has done in these last 10, 15 years. The path of media freedom and putting out as vigorously as possible the various views that has to be put out on matters of national interest in our country. It is vital to the development of our country that that should be the case. If you are in the public space, you have to be prepared to take a lot of slings and arrows. I'm not particularly concerned about it. But what concerns me, and which I consider still very, very important, is that all of us agree that the right to expression should be as unfettered as possible. Subject, of course, of laws of libel and defamation and the rest. But more important than leadership is a recognition by all of us that the way we can develop our country in security and successfully is to make sure that the institutions of our state work according to the way they're meant to work. Journalists do their work properly, judges do their work properly, legislators do their work properly. As all the various estates of our country are doing their work as they are envisaged to do under our constitution and in the culture of our country, that is the way that we will make progress. And the progress that will guarantee our security, our personal freedoms, as well as our economic progress.
NPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo.
Three MPs have sued the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, GNPC, over its decision to contract a $700 million loan. The three are praying the court to declare the contract procuring and securing of the loan facility as unconstitutional, unlawful, null and void. The three are MP for Tafo Pankrono, Dr. Akoto Osei, MP for Menchia South, Dr. Matthew Pukupempe, and MP for Ibuakwa South, Samuel Atachia. They are asking the court to declare the decision by GNPC to undertake a program of projects without prior approval of Parliament unconstitutional, null and void. They are also seeking perpetual injunction on the contraction of the loan. Samuel Atachia is one of the plaintiffs.
For good of country, I mean, here is a situation in which a statutory body wants to be a god unto itself, that in the face of the law, it can go to any length and take as much as $700 million for so-called projects that Parliament has not approved. So where is the element of value for money? Where is the element of scrutiny? And this is very, very important that the body appointed by the Constitution to scrutinize, the coffers of the state, Parliament, and cannot be ignored. That is why we've gone to court.
But the GNPC has justified the loan, saying that the PNDC Law 64, you know, mandates any state institution to go for a loan without parliamentary approval.
Well, that is thinking in antiquity, you see, because as we are talking now, GNPC derives their money from the Petroleum Revenue Management Act, and that act says that every activity and the programs of GNPC should have parliamentary approval. That is one of the things we should bear in mind. Also, we have the Constitution. The Constitution is very clear on the point that if you wanted to, go for any activity which has economic implications for Ghana and is with an international body, you are required to come for parliamentary approval. So when you even look at the Petroleum Revenue Management Act and also the Constitution, you will realize that GNPC cannot become an island on itself, and then they also believe that they could go into the old laws of PNDC Law 64 to ignore Parliament and go and obtain loans. So we will see which laws are superior now and which laws are latest in time. And by interpretations of law, it will become very clear that they need a parliamentary approval.
You heard one of the plaintiffs, Samuel Atachia, talking to Bright in Trauma.
Nigeria is expected to add 200 million cubic feet to its gas production by the close of the year. This will stabilize and ensure reliable gas supply to the sub-region from the beginning of next year. Speaking at a meeting of the Committee of Ministers of the West African Gas Pipeline Project, a representative of the Nigerian Petroleum Minister, Dr. David Ige, said the challenges that are currently impeding the supply of gas is gradually being addressed, and within the next 3 weeks, the flow of gas will significantly improve. He said the problems facing the project are not only specific to West Africa, but are global and cut across the region. There's a report by Rita Nyako and Patience Kwe.
Dr. Ige said, Nigeria is still committed to the objectives of the West Africa Gas Pipeline project. He said his country remains the most viable and sustainable source of gas supply to the region. Dr. Ige promised that Nigeria will work assiduously to ensure that the project becomes sustainable and a reality.
Nigeria is unconditionally committed to the objectives of the West African Gas Pipeline. It is a very cardinal element of Mr. President's 3-point agenda for gas in Nigeria, which recognizes gas supply to the region as a very, very strategic element of Nigeria's agenda for the sub-region. Over the next few weeks, we expect some additional volumes of gas to come into the pipeline. And as we approach the end of this year, we expect close to 200 million cubic feet per day of gas to be added to the national grid. And that is going to increase within the first 2 months of next year, significantly with an addition of another 200 to 300 million cubic feet per day of gas into the network. Every addition of gas into the network goes a long way to stabilize and ensure the reliability of supply to the sub-region.
The Minister of Energy, Emmanuel Amakosibua, welcomed the promise by his Nigerian counterpart. He said the major problem marrying the project is the inconsistent supply of gas. So if they are able to keep their promise to ensure the constant flow of gas, then the energy problem in the country will significantly improve.
We are happy that Nigeria was also here to forcefully make the case that the commitment that was made from Nigeria to supply at least 120 million cubic feet of gas has not been kept, and that Nigeria has to keep that promise. They are saying that we are going to see a future in the coming weeks where gas will move from 90 million a day to the contractual volumes. That to me is a welcome news. I think that we are also going to take the opportunity to review a lot of the tariff and other things. If they keep that commitment and gas is going to be constant in the contractual volumes, it means that the thermal plants that can only use gas can now be sure, especially with a complement of gas from our own back.
The meeting was attended by the ministers of energy or their representatives from Ghana, Nigeria, Togo and Benin.
A report by Rita Nyako and Patience Kwee.
The National Insurance Commission, NIC, will from next week start prosecuting owners of property who do not acquire and display fire and commercial certificates of insurance. It says enough education and engagement have been undertaken regarding the importance of that law, which was promulgated in 2006. According to a member of the National Task Force on Compulsory Insurance, Joseph Bento, it is now time to enforce the law. He made the statement when the task force went round to ensure compliance in some facilities in Accra. Abraham Donko and Aurelia Kandi have the details.
The disregard for the acquisition of fire and commercial certificates by owners and administrators of facilities across the country has been the bane of the National Insurance Commission and the National Task Force, which comprises the Ghana National Fire Service and the Ghana Police Service. With the 2012 Melcombe disaster as a reference point, the task force decided to strictly enforce the law, mainly because owners of these buildings and facilities are aware of what they should do, but have blatantly refused to do so. Facilities visited were MTN, Highgate Hotel, Bolesa House, Sparrow Productions and Western College. The rest are Beaufort Ridge, Laramat and Chateau Towers. Apart from all the others who were given between 3 and 5 days to produce their certificates, representatives of Laramat and Chateau Towers, both in Osun, were picked up by the police for further questioning. A member of the National Task Force on Compulsory Insurance, Joseph Bento, told Radio Ghana that the exercise is a prelude to an extensive one that will include prosecution from next week.
There are places that we have pre-visited, we have actually spoken to, have explained to, have provided information, and they have not adhered to it. We are using this as a breaking line. The next time around, we are going to invite them to the police station, and we are going to arrest, and we are going to prosecute. We give the benefit of the doubt. If they say they have it, fine. Take it, display it, and bring us a copy to confirm. And we are taking this visit and this week's activity as a breaking line, and next week, we are going to be more vigorous in terms of prosecuting.
During exercise, it was observed that Chateau Towers, for instance, produced a fake fire certificate dated 29th November 2014, where the day on which they produced the document to the task force was 2 days away from what was on the certificate.
That was a report by Abraham Donko and Aurelia Akande.
All is set for the smooth takeoff of the ECOWAS Common External Tariff, CET, as finance ministers and Directors General of Customs of ECOWAS member states have met to finalize preparations towards the implementation of the CET by January 2015. Addressing delegates at the meeting in Accra, the Minister of Finance, Seth Tekne, said the ECOWAS Common External Tariff will deepen trade relations among member states. He urged member countries to examine the CET critically in order to address possible challenges in the future. Mercy Dako and Enokwe have the rest of the story.
The ECOWAS Common External Tariff CET is one of the instruments of harmonizing ECOWAS member states and strengthening the common markets. The tariffs set at 35% at most will modify the rights and obligations of ECOWAS member countries. The CET will, among other things, foster a harmonized tax regime in the interest of intra-regional trade. The Minister of Finance, Seth Pekwe, said although there will be some challenges when the CET becomes operational, member states need to collaborate effectively to ensure the success of the common tariff.
The benefits from the successful implementation of the CET cannot be overestimated. Apart from leading to an eventual improvement in customs revenue, the CET will also serve as an instrument to be used in protecting strategic sectors within the regional economy. It is a general knowledge that massive reforms such as CET do not come without success. However, we have come a long way with other reforms in the sovereign in our march towards the integration. We hope from this to continue to work together tirelessly so that we can collectively overcome these challenges. The successful implementation of CET will indeed serve as an important step towards achievement of our Vision 2020 and our economic integration agenda.
The German ambassador to Ghana, John Radige, said his country, through GIZ, has committed over 12.5 million euros to help in the implementation of the CET. He highlights on some benefits to be derived from the common tariff, using the European Union as an example.
Mercy Dako and Enokwe filed that report.
An economist with the Economic Policy Unit of the Third World Network Africa, Jechitano, has attributed the economic challenges facing most African countries to the over-reliance on developed countries. He says though the dependency will yield some development, the vulnerability that comes with it are enormous. Mr. Tano said this is stifling the growth of most African countries. He was speaking at the launch of a report on the least developed countries in Accra. Rosalind Ganyaglo reports.
Mr. Jechitano explained that both external and internal factors account for the low rates in growth. The rich mineral resources in most of these African countries are not being harnessed. There is so much foreign grip on these resources, making the developed countries gain at the expense of African countries. Mr. Tano said if these countries want to be in competition with the developed world, they must be creative, innovative, and coordinate well to harmonize their interests.
One of the things that will put us in an enormously difficult position is the grip of international factors, the grip of foreign powers and interests on our fortunes. That really is what, because if you look at the key difference, as the report discusses, between Asian least developed countries and African least developed countries, two things are obvious. One is that those are countries which have made more of a shift towards manufacturing, and these are countries which depend a lot more on domestic resources and regional economies than their global economy. So one of the points the report makes is that the share of African ownership in the financial sector in Africa is 30%. The report also discusses that the share of the public sector and policy-driven financial institutions in their economy is much higher. And it's not a good story. I don't think we have pursued a useful growth path. So whatever we have done, you could have become middle income 50 times over if you want. If you do not have a sustainable development path, you haven't done anything.
The Trade and Industry Minister, Dr. Kosiu Gabra, in a speech read for him said, government is doing all it can to raise the living standards of the citizenry. He said policies will be put in place to improve the competitiveness of the trade and industry sector. This, Dr. Gabra believes, will help the private sector realize their full potential.
Rosalind Ganyaglo reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Ghana and Denmark signed 4-year tax and development program to support economic governance. Nana Akufo-Addo urges media to uphold tenets of profession and champion development. National Insurance Commission to prosecute property owners who do not acquire and display insurance certificates. Former President Obasanjo criticizes Goodluck Jonathan for his handling of Boko Haram insurgency. And UN declares state of emergency in Gaza following days of torrential rains. We are back shortly.
Welcome back. A senior lecturer at the Ghana School of Law, Max Olupukwu Ajimai, says Mayele Ametepe has made the work of prosecutors easy by pleading guilty for trafficking cocaine to the United Kingdom. He said the hearing will be swift when sitting resumes on the 5th of January next year. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News last night, Mr. Opokwajimai said that the kilogram of cocaine she was carrying would determine her sentence.
And mostly when you plead guilty, then you are convicted upon your own plea. That is, based on your own admission of guilt, you will be convicted. But if you plead not guilty, then all the issues will be at stake. So there will be a full trial. That is where then you have to lead evidence to show, because it is the prosecution's duty or burden then to show that you are guilty. But once you plead guilty, then you will leave the burden of the prosecution, because then there's no need to go to a further trial because you have admitted to the charge. So that is what has happened. Now that the president has pleaded guilty, they are not going to go a full length of trial. What is going to happen is that on the 5th of January, then the person will be convicted, and after conviction will be sentenced.
Also told that her lawyers asked for a swifter sentence after the lady pleaded guilty. Could that have also, you know, kind of influenced, you know, her fate?
It won't have any effect. According to prosecutors, the substance going through analysis, and they have to find the actual amount, because when you test, then you will know whether indeed the fine grade is 10, is 12, or 20, because by the other system, each kilogram has a year attached to it, a sentence attached to it. So you need to finish with the analysis, come out with the fine figure, and based on the fine figure, you may get, because if it is 10.
A senior lecturer at the Ghana School of Law, Maxwell Opokwajimai.
The governing board of Graphic Communications Group Limited has asked the management to reinstate the sacked Ashanti region editor Daniel Kinu. The board chairperson, Dr. Dorjia Date, said the committee asked to investigate the issue suggested 1 month suspension and could not understand why the management arrogated powers unto itself and decided to dismiss Mr. Kinu. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Dr. Dati said management does not have a choice but to comply and reinstate Daniel Kinu immediately.
We were not informed. So when we had the meeting, we went through the documents, the decision, the considerations that were given. And we established that the team that was set up to investigate the matter recommended a 1 month suspension. So we couldn't understand why such a decision from 1 month was converted into a business hour. Now, as the board of such an important state-owned institution, our role centers around ensuring that things are done correctly, and that if anything goes wrong, we'll guide the organization to correct itself. So we took the decision to reverse the suspension of Kinu and to request and literally order for his reinstatement so that we can correct what we think was an awkward situation and an extreme measure as a punishment.
Doc, I hear the word order. Does it mean, or you are so hopeful that management will comply with your directives for Kinu to be reinstated?
Oh, management will comply with our directives. The board is the highest making decision body in our organization. Our mandate is very clear. So the management wouldn't have a choice but to comply. And the media commission has also emphasized that it believes in the sanctity of the board.
You heard board chair of Graphic Communications Group Limited, Dr. Doris Yadate.
In foreign news, former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo has accused President Goodluck Jonathan of misreading the Boko Haram crisis and allowing the threat to escalate. General Obasanjo is still a key power broker in the ruling People's Democratic Party, PDP, has launched a series of scathing attacks against President Jonathan in recent months and has publicly urged him not to seek re-election, which he claims President Jonathan has ignored. Speaking at the book launch, General Obasanjo described the five-year Islamist uprising as a gargantuan danger to the nation and blamed President Jonathan for taking more than 3 years to understand the root causes of the conflict.
Meanwhile, a bomb blast has hit a bus station in northeastern Nigeria, killing at least 40 people. Reports say at least 5 soldiers are among the victims of yesterday's attack in a village just outside of Mobi, the second largest city of Adamawa State. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but the area has been repeatedly targeted by the rebel group Boko Haram. Earlier this month, Boko Haram seized the town, which has a population of more than 200,000, and renamed it the City of Islam.
French President François Hollande is to arrive in Guinea, becoming the first Western leader to visit an Ebola-affected country. He will deliver a message of solidarity to Guinea, where more than 1,200 people have died of Ebola. France has pledged 100 million euros to help tackle the disease by opening several care centers in Guinea.
And the United Nations has declared a state of emergency in the Gaza Strip after 2 days of heavy rains and flooding in the war-battered enclave. The UN Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, says it has closed 63 schools and supplying emergency fuel, water, sanitation and health facilities to municipalities. According to UN Works Director of Operations in Gaza, Robert Turner, the agency is concerned about the severe storms on the back of unprecedented damage and destruction from the war.
To end the news, the main points again. Ghana and Denmark have signed an agreement for a 4-year tax and development program. The program, which will be implemented from 2015 to 2018, is part of Denmark's development strategy to support Ghana's economic governance and sustain its public finances. The flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has challenged the media to uphold the tenets of the profession in the discharge of their duties and champion the country's development. And the National Insurance Commission will from next week prosecute property owners who do not acquire and display fire and commercial certificates of insurance. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy in Accra.